Hey, Odyssey fans, I'm Jesse, editor of Adventures in Odyssey Clubhouse Magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Odyssey Adventure Club. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
You know, Bob, with our titles and the name of the show, there's a lot of word repetition there. If we say the word Odyssey or adventure again, I think we'll be over our quota for the week.
I'll try to watch out for that. Today on the podcast, we're hearing from Phil Proctor. Phil has voiced several characters on Adventures in Odyssey.
There we go again.
Sorry. How about Phil has voiced several characters for us,
yeah,
including Eugene's father, Leonard Meltzner, and Detective Polehouse.
Now, Detective Polehouse is a major part of the upcoming album 58, The Ties That Bind.
And he's appearing this month in Like a Good Neighbor in the Odyssey Adventure Club.
Ah, yeah, and that's our quota for the month. Well, let's talk with Phil.
Phil, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. I'm sorry. It's been, what, 6.5 years since I talked to you last?
It has been a long time.
Wow, yeah.
How time flies.
It does.
Let's start by talking about some of your other projects. Outside of Adventures in Odyssey, you've played a number of roles in animation on everything from Rugrats and Spider-Man to The Smurfs and a number of different Disney and Pixar films. Are you ever recognized for your voice?
Not really, but what happens is that if somebody asks me what I do for a living, and I say, well, I do voices like, I'm Howard on the Rugrats. You're Howard on the Rugrats. I get that kind of recognition, but I have to throw the voice out, you know, for somebody to recognize who I am. It's both a curse and a blessing when you're a voiceover actor. You don't get the kind of fan recognition that somebody does if they're on television on a regular basis or they've done a big movie, but you get a wonderful kind of a shock and surprise from people when you tell them that you're, you know, the villain Dr. Vidic in the Assassin's Creed game, or that you were King Gerard in the Smurfs, or the Rugrats, which gets played all the time, all over the world. I get fan requests for the Rugrats more than anything else that I've ever done. And most of them, believe it or not, are coming from Russia and the Ukraine.
Huh.
Wow.
And luckily, I speak Russian, so I'm able to write postcards back to them and to communicate with them by email.
Wow.
But
I
was
cool.
Very lucky because I was born with an ability to hear and repeat music and words and things. And apparently, as a little child in Goshen, Indiana, My grandfather was singing a hymn to me, and I hummed it back to him. And it was my first public performance. Now, of course, I like to get paid for it, but then it was just for fun.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you were born for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes God's path is defined by the abilities that you're given. And then the mystery of life is, what do you do with God's gifts?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been blessed that you've used your abilities in the Odyssey world, not just for Detective Don Polehouse, but you are also Mr. Corelli in The Other Side of the Glass, Principal Spence in The Jubilee Singers, and of course, Eugene's father, Leonard Meltzner.
Yes, I was able to use my English accent for him, and that was a very interesting episode. It took place, you know, in flashbacks in Africa, where I had been enslaved under some evil, greedy character.
That's right.
Who was, you know, forcing me to search for gold under dangerous circumstances. And oh, a very interesting, imaginative series. If nobody has heard those episodes, they really would enjoy them.
Oh, definitely. Now, of all the characters you've played on Odyssey, which one maybe resonates with you more personally?
The character I'm doing right now, Detective Polehouse, is a wonderful character for me, and I really enjoy him. And he's relatively close to the way that I think and act in life. And Paul McCusker has written a really wonderfully ironic, humorous character in this detective, and yet he's all business. So he's a terrifically fun character for me to play, and I like the fact that he's a recurring character in so many of the adventures, because then I get to drop in at a certain point to Odyssey and find out what's been going on in the town.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? The continuity of being able to come into various episodes over periods of time is tremendously fun for me, because I get to meet the characters that I've met before and new characters as well, and I really feel like I'm a part of this wonderful imaginary town that's been created for almost over a quarter of a century now.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yep. Well, Phil, so many of our cast members have the opportunity to play multiple characters over time.
Right.
How do you keep the voices straight? In other words, when you're creating a new one, how do you try and make sure that it doesn't sound too much like somebody that you played before?
Well, you know, when you create a character, you try to find some kind of a catch phrase in your head that allows you to find that character again. With Howard in the Rugrats, it was the fact that he has, you know, kind of a squeaky voice, and he's a nerd. And once I found that character, and everybody agreed that's what he should sound like, he's very easy to return to because I know where he is in my voice, in my head. Yeah. You know, I know where to put him. Detective Polhouse is somewhat like that, too, because he's a no-nonsense kind of a guy with, as I say, a very wicked sense of humor. And you never know exactly when he's being serious and when he's putting you on, which is good because it keeps the people that he's interrogating off guard. But, of course, today we also have the great ability to be able to play back other shows.
And
that's always helpful. If somebody plays me the character that I've done before, I immediately can go to that character in my vocal apparatus through some magic and be there again exactly where I was before.
Do you base Don Polhouse on anybody else? I mean, how do you sort of make him fit into the canon of police officers?
Believe it or not, the characters that I drew upon for Polhouse are Sherlock Holmes and Watson combined into one. I'm sure some of the younger kids know Sherlock Holmes or know of his reputation all of the movies and all of the wonderful stories that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote over the years. And he's one of the most famous fictional detectives in the entire world. But his counterpoint was Dr. Watson, who was kind of the comic aspect of the Holmesian character. Holmes takes himself very, very seriously and doesn't seem to have much of a sense of humor at all. But Watson does. So I combine those two because Paul has created somebody who has a wicked sense of humor and a sense of irony, but also is very smart and really knows how to get the facts out of people and to figure out what's going on and to solve mysteries.
Polhouse, he seems to be very much about, again, the facts. And although he is, especially in Like a Good Neighbor, which is the Odyssey Adventure Club episode this month, he's not too cozy with people, although he's willing to lend a hand. There seems to be a delicate balance between serving the community and being part of the community. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that you've hit the nail on the head there. You see, if he were to become too cozy with people and too friendly, he couldn't do his job properly because he's got to be objective about what he is investigating. And it doesn't necessarily mean, for instance, that Wit is going to turn out to be a bad guy, but it might mean that Wit might be trying to cover up for somebody. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Who he feels certain personal attitudes about. And a detective has to be able to instinctively rely on his abilities to investigate something with as much objectivity as possible so that he can get to the bottom of any mystery that is challenging him. And that's why he's a little standoffish. I think that's one of the reasons why he has this ironic and somewhat cynical sense of humor, which also keeps people, you know, off guard. They know that they can't pull the wool over this guy's eyes because he is already maintaining a certain distance, even though they know that he likes them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, he is complex.
So it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to play. And often when Paul's directing me, he will emphasize that aspect of my character so that I don't become too casual with the people that I know, you know, from previous episodes.
The first time that you appeared as Detective Polhouse was, of course, in the Green Ring Conspiracy.
Green Ring Conspiracy, right.
Uh-huh. And, you know, and a lot of the characters in Green Ring turned out to be bad guys, and we often asked the cast members if they thought they were good or bad, and you were convinced that you were good, which I know a lot of our listeners maybe weren't.
I wasn't.
Why were you so sure?
I think that, again, is part of the genius of the writing of Adventures in Odyssey, and one of the things that makes me so happy to be a participant in the shows. I wasn't worried. I felt in my heart that this was a good man and that he was really going to, you know, go after the mystery and solve it and wasn't working for anybody else. But that element of mystery about it adds to the tension of the character and to the overall fun of the story. So I welcomed it.
Now that you've had a chance to become a regular part of the show, do you feel an especially close connection to any of your Odyssey cast members?
Well, I've known Will Ryan for a very long time. And as the fans of the show know, he's a tremendously talented musician. And he always brings his ukulele to the sessions. And there's always singing and harmonizing going on between takes, which, again, adds to the wonderful fun and feeling of community of it. But I used to tour with an act called Procter & Bergman back in the 70s, and we would run into Will on the road. And at that time, Will and I looked very much the same at our age. We were both in our 30s, I think, then. But we looked similar, and he would often be mistaken for me, and I'd be mistaken for him. Fans would come up and think that it was Will Ryan or Phil Proctor. So I have a special affinity with him, and I've also followed his musical career outside of Odyssey, and we've been friends for a long time, so it's a thrill to be working with him. But again, I know so many of the voiceover artists who've been cast in this wonderful show that I feel a certain continuity with everybody that I get to work with. Katie Lee, for instance, and I mean, almost all of them. Fred Tatasciore. I've done, you know, Disney, Pixar projects with these folks over the years, and cartoons on TV and commercials even. So I feel like I'm close to them all. It makes for even more fun when we're working together in the studio.
You know, you mentioned that accents come pretty easily to you, and you play a character in the Odyssey Adventure Club episode, Like a Good Neighbor, with a Southern accent.
So yeah, that's right.
If our listeners are interested in acting, how can they become more consistent with an accent, maybe if they don't have that same ear that you were born with?
Yeah, because that could be tough, slipping in and out of an accent.
Yeah, it starts with having a good ear, and it starts with having fun playing with your voices. You know, you have to generate all these things yourself, you know. Not every little town has a school where you can go in and they'll teach you how to do it.
Right.
So the main thing is to treat it like play. You know, if you're a good ball player, you're going to go out there and toss that ball around and hit that ball as much as you can. Well, you do the same thing if you find you have any kind of an ability to have fun with a voice and to do dialects and things like that. Because you never know when it's going to come in handy for you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it is a lot of fun to listen to. Phil, thanks for your time. Let's not wait 6 years before we talk again, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a deal.
All right.
I'd love to talk to you on a regular basis. And I certainly do love being a part of this great family.
Oh, and we love having you part of it. Thanks, Phil. That was a lot of fun. You can hear Phil as Detective Polehouse and Like a Good Neighbor in the club that must not be named.
Odyssey Adventure Club.
Yeah. Well, let's hear one of his scenes from that show.
Yes?
Hi, I'm Olivia Parker.
I know who you are. I've seen you around.
Oh, you're that police guy, right?
I'm Detective Don Polehouse.
I didn't know you lived here.
I didn't know that a young woman would come knocking on my door at 7:30 on a Saturday morning, so we're even.
Oh, sorry. Is it too early?
What can I do for you?
I brought you some brownies.
Brownies?
Mm-hmm.
How nice. Are you raising money for some youth group?
Nope.
Getting money to send yourself to Paris for a band trip?
Nope. I am giving them out for free just to be nice.
Aha. And what inspired this generosity?
Well, did you hear about Mr. Hollard's robbery?
The guys at the station were talking about it, but that wasn't a robbery.
It wasn't?
Nope. A robbery is a crime of taking by force or intimidation. The victim is present. Mr. Hollard wasn't home. It wasn't even breaking and entering since he left his back door unlocked.
Hmm.
What year does he think this is, anyway? 1950? Does he think we live in Mayberry?
Don't you think it's good when people trust their neighbors?
Trust their neighbors? Now, there's a bag of nonsense. You know what makes a good neighbor?
What?
Big locks and high fences.
Oh.
And you still didn't answer my question. Why are you dishing out brownies?
I'm trying to be a good neighbor.
Where do you live?
Over on Winslow Street.
That's blocks from here. I'm not your neighbor.
Well, I baked a lot of brownies, and everyone's a neighbor, according to the Bible, right?
If you say so.
So, you want a brownie?
No. I'm on a low-calorie diet.
You are?
Well, how do you think I maintain this svelte figure?
Fortunately, Detective Polehouse isn't always that cranky.
Well, exactly, yeah.
You can join the club today by visiting oaclub.org. And don't forget that you can hear Album 58, The Ties That Bind, on the club right now. Part 3 releases today, and Part 4 comes out this weekend.
Well, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. I just had no options.
Oh, well.
A presentation of Focus on the Family.
That website, again, is oaclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.